Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. One of the great things about being alive right now is watching all the false narratives start to hemorrhage and bleed out. It's starting to dawn on more and more good humans that we've been lied to about damn near everything. All of the most sacred cows have not and will not survive the litmus test that is simply truth. Isn't that amazing? The most dizzying maze of lies that we've been sold and told to believe are shown for all the world to see as an emperor with no clothes. We all sense there were lies, but we needed to be shown the truth to really know for ourselves, and here we are. Which brings us to the climate narrative. If you are a Gen Xer or a baby boomer, see if any of this sounds familiar. I have heard throughout my whole life that humans were causing planetary harm and a certain extinction of our species along with all the others. When I was a kid, it was acid rain. Remember that? Acid rain was going to kill us all. Nope. Wasn't true. Then there was the ozone layer. We were damaging the ozone layer so much that we would be lucky to see another decade at most. Nope, wasn't true. Then there was Al Gore and the inconvenient truth that the polar ice caps were melting rapidly, raising sea levels, and this was spelling doom for all of us, the polar bears, and especially people in coastal areas. No, not true, not even close. Then you had global warming. That would certainly be our end. No, not so much. Since they can't sell melting ice caps and global warming, let's just call the whole thing climate change. That way, no matter what happens, we can say, see, it's climate change, and be right about something. Oy vey. What is clear is that this nonstop doomer narrative creates fear and lots of money on the backs of taxpayers for endless NGOs or foundations like the Gates Foundation that are pushing and enriching themselves off of the climate narrative. To this point, if they are noisy about climate, you can bet they are grifting off our backs and don't want us to look at the real science lest we call them out for what they are, opportunists with an agenda that suits them and not we the people. Well, we're going to get into all this today with a retired doctor who has done a deep dive to look for and find the facts about climate change. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Dr. Michael Karbowski. Dr. Karbowski is a retired anesthesiologist and former head of the anesthesiology department at Group Health here in Redmond. Michael has a PhD in pharmacology and has taken a deep interest in climate change and the climate narrative, something he shares with us today. Here is my interview with Dr. Michael Karbowski. I am here with Dr. Michael Karbowski, American, retired anesthesiologist and climate researcher, Dr. Michael Karbowski. Dr. Karbowski, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be here.
Yeah, you know, we were speaking, you and I are both local in Seattle, and we just recorded the American Pulse with you, which is coming out this Friday. And in that conversation, I found out that you had done a deep dive into climate and all that stuff. And I've been wanting to do another show with an American who has gone down the rabbit hole and found out some things and read some books. So I was super excited. We did one quite a few episodes ago, way back in episode 184, called Climate Clarity with Dr. Judith Curry. And she really revealed some things, and I'm looking forward to getting your insights into some of these same things, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know that the science is not settled on this. There's a lot of people that have assumptions that, you know, they don't want to go against the current narrative because they feel like they'll look foolish or they're not plugged in. And so we're going to get into all that. But I guess just to start with, we'll just start swinging at some of these issues and assumptions. One of the things that we've been told over and over is that it's the warmest decade in history and that the Earth is continuing to become hotter to dangerous levels. We hear this repeatedly. Is this really true? What does the data show about this?
Well, first of all, the modern thermometer wasn't even invented until the late 1800s. And so most of what we know about climate and weather is by proxy. That would be like tree rings and ice cores and bottom ocean sediment and even sediment on the land. So we know a lot about history going back at least to 500 million years. So what we know in history is that there was a warming period called the Roman Warm Period, when it got very warm. Then it was followed by what was called the Mini Ice Age, and everything went to hell. Crops didn't grow, there were droughts, there were infectious diseases, everything was terrible. People were dying by the millions. And so then after that, it started warming again. So most recently, around 1900, the Earth started warming, and it got the hottest around 1930s, 1940s. And it was hotter then than it is today. They had more high weather temperatures than they do today. So after 1940, the Earth started cooling all the way to 1970. And Time magazine had said we're going to approach another ice age. And people were afraid by a new ice age coming. So, and then about 1970, it started picking back up again and growing. And that's when the climate crazy people were starting to say, oh, it's all CO2, and we're all going to die. But we'll get into that a little later. So we'll talk about how they monitor Earth's temperature. So about the 1960s, they started putting thermometers around all these places, particularly around cities. So because going out to rural areas, it was too difficult for someone. They didn't have internet to send the data, so people had to go out and record it. So what they started finding was that there's a tremendous increase in heating, especially in cities. So if they looked at rural temperatures, it didn't show that high increase. So like cities have, you know, concrete, asphalt, and all these, and people that are causing warming in these cities. It can be 5 degrees warmer in, say, Paris than out in the rural areas.
Sure.
So that was named the heat island effect, heat island effect. And even the IPCC agrees with that heat island effect is a problem. So a man named Roy Spencer in NASA said, isn't there a way we can avoid all these artifacts? So he actually devised satellites that can measure global temperatures, and it was a huge improvement. And so what they found out was, if you look at world temperatures, ocean temperatures, and satellite temperatures, it's not an alarming increase in temperature. What's happening is there's a increase in the low. So in other words, it's getting warmer, but not higher. It's becoming milder, so to speak.
That's interesting. Well, what about, you know, you hear also a lot about the CO2, the greenhouse gas theory, that is what is causing the rise in temperature. Is there evidence that that's true, or is that also being debated?
That's probably most controversial, and it's being debated. So what the greenhouse gas theory is, probably most people know, is that as we produce more CO2 in the air and methane, it's causing like a greenhouse effect, which is increasing the global temperatures. And, you know, the people who promote this, they like to talk about tons of CO2 produced because it sounds so huge. But in reality, it's really a tiny amount. Let me give an example. So if you talk about parts per million, the CO2 is increased to 480 parts per million. So what is that? If you had a big container and you put a million molecules of air in it, 200,000 would be oxygen, 800,000 would be nitrogen, and only 5 molecules would be CO2. That's minuscule.
Yeah.
So, and here's the other point. Historically, the CO2 has been about 2,000 parts per million. So, you know, to say a 480 parts per million is a big problem is really kind of crazy.
When I was younger, I was kind of bought into this narrative a bit. You know what I mean? Like I thought, of course, all these cars and machinery with their exhaust, that's choking the planet. Like, you know, I really did see it as it's not sustainable. Of course, there's something bad happening with all this industrialization, right? I think, yeah, that was just my felt sense that it was, I was as shocked as anybody when I talked to Judith about it, same kind of thing where she's like, it's the CO2 is not really an issue. And I was kind of like, really? There's actually scientists with data that say, no, it's not at all. And so for me, it was a surprise. And I think for a lot of people that maybe don't look, that probably feels like a little bit of a leap of faith away from that assumption. Yes. Does that make sense?
Yes. And, you know, there are other things like lead that they finally got out of the gasoline. That was toxic, but so there are good things. Actually, our air is cleaner than it's ever been. And CO2 is not a problem.
What about people that say that the climate is posing an existential threat? Like we are, you know, I mean, you hear this a lot and you've heard it. I've heard it my whole life, to be honest with you. It was like the acid rain was going to kill us. And then it was like the polar bears are going extinct. And there was Al Gore saying, look, the ice is all melting. We're all going to, none of that proved to be true. And yet they still, now they just change it, the whole thing to climate change so that they can bang the drum no matter which way the climate moves. They can say, see, this is proof. Are we under an existential threat with either the climate or the weather? You know, we've got a lot of weird weather. I don't know. I don't want to go and say some of it is not natural. I know there's a lot of geoengineering and that's a whole nother topic, but are we under an existential threat with the climate and the weather?
Before we can get into that, can I say one more thing about CO2?
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's a life cycle of CO2, just like a rain cycle. You know, it rains, the water goes in the aquifers, it goes in the rivers, it goes into the oceans, and then becomes clouds, and it comes over land and drops more rain. So that's a life, that's a water cycle. There's a CO2 cycle too. So what happens as CO2 gets into the air, the oceans absorb tremendous amounts of it. It's like, you know, they're trying to spend all this money to bury CO2, you know, on the land. The ocean is doing the same thing right now. You know, if you look at how long does CO2 last in the air, it lasts 500 to 1,000 years. So even if you stop breathing and stops any CO2 production, the CO2 levels will not drop. We kind of saw that during COVID when everything stopped. The world stopped. The CO2 levels did not decrease, but methane increased because methane's a natural, naturally formed.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
So, Why did the CO2 drop from the average of 2000 to 150? First of all, if it had gone lower than 150, the whole world would have died because plants need CO2 to grow. There'd be no forests, there'd be no agriculture. But what the best explanation was by a guy named Patrick Moore. He was one of the co-founders of Greenpeace. And he said, well, his explanation is the only one I've heard is that at 2000, what happened is the CO2 went into the water. It united with calcium, became calcium carbonate, which is, you know, what forms all the shells of all the sea creatures, the shrimp, the crabs, the coral, all that. So he was saying that these organisms were evolving to have these hard shells for protection and was taking away all the CO2 out of the water. So the other thing about CO2 is when you look at the history, when there's been high CO2 and warmer, there's been tremendous earth greening and prosperity and biodiversity being formed. So it's a time of great, it's a good thing. Here's one of the most important things I could say about CO2. They did some ice core studies where they drilled into the ice cores in the Arctic, and they found that the warming became before the CO2 increase. So this is hugely important. Think about it. So what they're saying now is that CO2 causes the increased temperature. It's actually the opposite. As the temperature increases, the CO2 comes out of the ocean and starts growing. So the temperature precedes the CO2.
It's the other way around, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
So now we can talk about weather.
Climate and weather, you know, you see a lot of that, you know, and I think people are, I don't know if they always distinguish between climate and weather, and also, you know, we have a lot of weird things happening. And I think, I don't know if it's natural weather occurring or other factors, but, you know, we have wildfires all over. There's all kinds of strange things happening in areas they don't normally happen in. You know what I mean? Like inland in North Carolina, there's, you know, this huge.
Yes.
And I think people are, I think to the untrained eye, or people that are just like, you know, I follow the science, so it must be, they could easily be fooled into thinking this is evidence that climate hysteria needs to be paid attention to, because look at what's happening. Have you ever seen a hurricane hit inland? And no, that proves our thesis, right? I think there's
that's some not true, though.
Yeah, I know. So I just wanted to,
there was a hurricane 10 years after the Pilgrims landed.
Yeah.
Up there in Massachusetts. You know, they didn't have the ability to measure this wind speed or anything like that, but it pretty much wiped out a lot of the population there.
Yeah. So, I didn't know that.
So I like what Larry the Cable Guy says. He says, I don't know anybody who walks out and outside and says, gee, it feels 1 degree warmer than last century.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
But you're right to point out that climate is not weather. They're totally different. Weather is a local phenomenon, and climate is something that occurs globally and over a decade, at least, long term. So you look at some of the things like hurricanes. There's actually been no increase in hurricanes in Florida over history.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is people are building more houses down there and are more damaged. But, you know, if you look, there's so much variability in the history. So their droughts, even during the ice age, mini ice age that we talked about earlier. I don't know if we mentioned that when it got cool in the history after Roman period, it was called the mini ice age.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. People were dying. And anyway, if you look at things like hurricanes and cyclones and floods and droughts, there's so much variability every year and day to day, you can't make any long-term prediction. Here's an example. I got my heating bill the other day, and the city measures the average temperature of February. And so what they said was the average temperature this year in February was 33 degrees. It was particularly cold. They compared it to last year when it was 47 degrees. That's a 14 degree difference. That's huge.
That is.
So that kind of variability exists throughout when you try to look at all these weather events. The other thing is like forest fires. So I read that when the pioneers first entered the state of Washington, they were complaining about the smoke from the forest fires.
Mm-hmm.
This is not new. And rising oceans, you know, with satellite data, they can show that the oceans only increased about 1 foot in a century. So I remember someone made a remark that Donald Trump, because he doesn't believe in climate change, his Mar-a-Lago was going to be underwater. Well, I wrote back and I said, if Mar-a-Lago was 20 feet above sea level, he's got about 2,000 years. So
right. Well, and I remember too, when I was a kid, before all this, you know, all this climate stuff, I remember having a heat wave in my hometown when I was a kid. It was just a hot summer. Nobody was saying this means the end of us. It was just, wow, it's really hot this summer. Or, you know, if we got, you know, a foot of snow, whoa, it's been a really snowy winter. There wasn't all this, people weren't writing blogs and posting stuff that this is the end of the world because of the climate. You know, I think that the internet and all the disinformation has just made people more misinformed about these kinds of things. Back then, you just talked to your neighbor and your neighbor was going, oh, it's hotter than hell this summer. It's like, yeah, it is. We're all feeling it, but that doesn't mean anything other than it's a hot summer, right?
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is, this is an interesting fact. Weather-related deaths have decreased 98% in the last century. Think about that. All these people saying, oh, we're all going to die because of the weather that climate change is producing. Well, no. And most of that decrease in death is because of fossil fuels. Think about it. Air conditioning, heating in the houses, agricultural, transportation, all that has provided far more lives and decreased the number of deaths due to weather.
Yeah, you know,
the thing about weather, they keep saying, oh, the polar bears are going extinct. That's nonsense. What happened was earlier in the century, people thought everybody should have a polar bear rug in their living room. So By the mid-1970s, they signed some treaties saying, we got to stop killing these polar bears. And all of a sudden, now polar bear population is up like fivefold. In fact, so it's up so high that some of these Alaskan villages are putting bounties on these to shoot them because there's too many.
Well, and I could be wrong on this. I wanted to ask you, but I remember, you know, an Inconvenient Truth, you know, by Al Gore when I was younger. And it was like, you know, that slideshow that showed the rapidly decreasing polar ice caps and what that would do to the polar bears. Well, from what I understand, that did not continue that direction. But they don't show you the updated slide with the polar ice caps returning to other levels. Right. Like, they never show you the, oh, we were wrong. It was like, well, we're just not going to talk about that, you know?
And they show you the slides. They show you the picture in the summertime when it's at its minimum.
There you go.
It comes back and grows. And actually, Antarctica on the South Pole is growing like mad.
Yeah.
At one time, you could walk across from the Antarctica to South America. And another fact is that at one time there were palm trees growing in Alaska.
So used to be able to walk from Antarctica to South America?
Because of the ice.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just read that this morning. It's crazy. It's like,
Huh, I'm just trying to get my mind around that.
I know. If you go on Google Ice Age and read about it, crazy stuff. Well, I mean, it's really amazing. Of course, there was no fossil fuel being burned then. And
yeah.
So all that stuff's nonsense. The other thing is coral reefs. How many times have we heard the coral reefs are dying?
All the time.
Nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
First, they started saying the coral reefs are being bleached. Bleaching is Patrick Moore said that is a natural phenomenon among coral reef. Mm-hmm. And he said and of course, then they started saying, oh, coral reefs are coming back. They're coming back. Well, they never were dead.
Right. Yeah. So, this is all good news for us, basically.
Some of the best coral reefs are in Indonesia, and he snorkeled it and he said, you wouldn't believe all the life. And that's the warmest part of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the IPCC. So what is it, the International Panel on Climate Change? What is it? What do they do? And are their models sound for what they do? What do they do exactly?
Good question.
Yeah.
So it was formed in 1988, shortly after y'all the scare about, oh, the climate's going to kill us all. So they got together and what their function is, they collect all these research papers from all around the world. Then they fly on their private jets to talk about them, and they come up and formulate different summaries. And they're totally biased. And another function of the IPCC is to predict models. And the models have been terrible. They're like 50% hotter than what's actually measured. Mm. So that's a big problem. I mean, if Musk shot a rocket up to rescue those astronauts and he missed by 50%, you know, they'd be dead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So 50% is a terrible, terrible model.
Yeah.
And it's costing millions of dollars to produce these models. So why are the models wrong? Well, the models are wrong because they totally rely on the CO2. They measure CO2 and say, oh, yeah, if CO2 increases, doubles this much, it's going to be this hot. Well, like I said before, the CO2 is a function of the increase in temperature, not vice versa.
Yeah.
And they have no idea what to do with clouds. Some people in the IPCC say, well, it's going to aggravate the amount of heating. Others say, no, it dampens it. So they don't know what to do with clouds. They don't know how to put in La Nina and El Nino currents in there. And they neglect the fact that the core of the earth, did you know this? The core of the earth is molten iron. It is so hot. It's molten iron. And they've never been able to drill down and actually reach it. But they know it's there because of the North Pole and the South, the deflection of your when you look at the North-South. So they know it's a molten core, molten iron. That's hot.
Yeah.
Of course, We see, I guess Russia tried to drill down to find it, but they only got down about 2.5 miles and took them 10 years. And
wow.
The deeper you go, the harder the rock. And so they never really got to the core. But
well, one of the things that Judith Curry had said about those, I don't know if she was talking about the IPCC or any other group that makes models and predictions. One thing she said that people don't realize is they will cherry pick data out of a timeline that suits their narrative. So if they want to show, correlation between CO2 and temperatures, they can take a little piece where they're like, look, here's an upward movement in these few years. We can use that. Doesn't matter that it dropped or it's not correlated or whatever. We won't show them that. We'll blow this timeline up and we'll speak to that and we'll make a presentation about that particular sliver of data. She goes, they do that all the time to fit their narrative. So I don't know if you found that at all when you were doing your research at all.
Absolutely.
I thought, what a shammy scientific method that is.
Well, the science is really crappy because what happens is you can't get invited to the IPCC to be on the panel unless you agree that CO2 is causing all this heating.
Right.
So you don't get published. And the other thing too is the government does not fund things that aren't a crisis. So they have to keep making this thing a crisis, because if they said, well, CO2 is not a problem and the Earth's not warming to a horrible extent, their existence would be totally wiped out. They have no reason to be in existence. All the money, there's been trillions of money thrown at them. They're not going to give that money up.
Right. Yeah. They are sucking at the teat. I think Doge is going to put a bullseye right on some of these climate alarmists for the shammy science. And I hope so, because it's like people really want to know the truth so they can stop like obsessing and being fearful that the climate's going to kill everybody. Your kids aren't going to live because of global warming or whatever the assumptions are, right?
Well, I have a saying that says we can defeat climate fear with climate facts. And that's why I'm on this podcast trying to throw some facts out there that people don't hear about. Now, everybody may not agree with me, but there's a lot of climate. My research is based on a lot of climate scientists. I've read many books and, you know, looked them up and read about it. So, you know, the science is not settled. Our knowledge of climate is very primitive. We're just in the beginning of understanding it. Anybody who says the climate is settled and it's all CO2 is, you know, this same thing happened during COVID when the Barrington Declaration? It was like 10,000 scientists said, no, you don't need to shut down the economy. Just try to protect the elderly. That's the people who are dying.
Yeah.
And Fauci just, you know, threw them in a corner and said, oh, they're just denied their science and said they were a bunch of goofballs who wanted to kill everybody.
Yep. Yep.
So the same thing's happened in climate science. It's like if you're a young person, if you don't put down in your papers and we got to look at climate change, you don't get published.
I know.
You don't get any money. Yep. It's a good old boys club. Actually, it's got girls now too, because they have a whole division now of DEI to make sure everybody can get papers in. But
yeah, it's just a huge, the money drives everything, right? It's like, you're going to find a group of scientists that will push an agenda if they're making so much money off of pushing that agenda. You know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of people that won't say no to millions of dollars to spearhead. You know, you can just imagine, you know, we need studies that say this, go get it. And here's a bunch of money to go get the data. And you know, you might take some hits. People saying that you're not a real scientist, but don't worry about it. You're getting rich and you're pushing this agenda. Even if you don't believe it personally, please at least create this narrative and we'll blare it out on mainstream media so people believe it. And
you're exactly right.
Yeah.
So somebody put out a study saying like 97% of scientists believe this theory, this green gas theory, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what the guy did in his paper was he just looked through all the papers, and anyone that mentioned climate, he said was basically supporting the climate model pushed by the IPCC. And that's just nonsense, because people put in there, like Stephen Koonin says, well, when I write a paper, I just put, even if it doesn't show any change due to climate, he says, and I'll say, well, we'll have to study this further and look at climate change, you know. So they know the game. If you want to get money for your research, you got to put in some words about climate. And you know what's happened is there's so much money now in climate science. I read a paper the other day. Someone in Colorado said They're studying effects of the size of grasshoppers on from climate change.
Oh my God. The stuff they,
I looked at the Department of Washington's climate science division. They have 20 full-time faculty. That's just the full-time faculty. They have 60 graduate students. They didn't even say how many undergraduate students. So it's massive. And these people are not going to say, you know, and I'll tell you another fact. You know, when we in November, we voted on this thing on this climate. There was a thing that we were trying to get rid of that tax they put on gas.
Yep.
50 cents. Well, the person who wrote the piece that said vote no on this was Cliff Mass, who's the number one climate scientist in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't know why he said that, but I suspect because it's going to cost $1 million for the University of Washington just to track their climate footprint. As with every industry in the state, it's going to have to spend tons of money to measure their climate footprint. Well, that's great for all these people coming out who want to get jobs, you know, in this climate nonsense stuff, but it's going to cost taxpayers lots of money.
The money grab is starting to become evident in every single one of these things. DEI, this. I think people are really clued in right now because of what's going on of like, what are we spending money on? What are, you know, we got a little ways to go on this, but it's stuff, it's conversations like this that I think help. I think people need to feel comfortable questioning the quote unquote science around this, knowing that behind closed doors with actual scientists that study it, as I spoke with Dr. Judith Curry, she's like, there is massive disagreements and massive science behind it, but you never hear about that because all you hear about is this small group that's featured on CNN and whatever else on the radio saying what a disaster the climate is. They're the ones with the megaphone, and the rest of us that are debating it, and picking apart certain data points. We don't get featured, so we're just left. We're kind of canceled, and we're left to podcasts and stuff to help people kind of understand. No, the science definitely is not settled.
Well, they're the climate deniers to me.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the ones who are denying science.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, so where can people find more information? You know, why does this matter right now? And where can people find you or resources to better maybe understand this? You know, this is just a short, you know, 45-minute podcast. My second one on this particular topic, and certainly there's others ringing the bell, but sometimes people want to sit down with a good book because that's how they process things, and they want to go on a good website. So where would you point people if they want to continue their education on this?
Well, before I address that, could I say one more thing?
Absolutely. So,
you know, it's not CO2, it's the sun. Sun is responsible for all the energy on your Earth in some way or other. So it's the elephant in the room. You think about it, the Earth spins around and there's day and night and temperature drops like 20 degrees overnight. It's hotter at the equator. So to think that the Earth doesn't wobble in its rotation going around the sun is crazy. Now, Galileo in 1636, he proposed that the sun does not go around the Earth. It's the opposite. The Earth goes around the sun. Mm-hmm. And all the scientists and everybody said, oh, come on. You can see the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. This guy's crazy. He was persecuted. He lost his professorship.
Threw him in jail, didn't they?
Yeah. They threw him in the house arrest for the rest of his life because he was a heretic.
Yep.
So, you know, to think that these people are right, you know, you got to have science. You got to have discussion. Okay, now back to your other question was, where do you find information? So this is the best place. Instead of reading 15 books, I would say go on YouTube, put in climate colon the movie.
Beautiful.
You'll find 15 climate scientists there who go against all the narrative. The other thing is you can join a couple organizations called CFACT, CFACT, or the CO2 Coalition. They put out tons of information. I donate to them. But you can do it on YouTube and find all kinds of people like Patrick Moore. Patrick Moore was one of the co-founders of Greenpeace, and he got out of Greenpeace because they're not scientific anymore. He was the only one that had any degree in science. So he's very interesting guy to talk to.
Well, he's the one that said, which is interesting, he's the one that said the climate hysteria is a sham fact. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, he's not mincing words, you know? So
no, he's at the scam. See, that's, I think what we should avoid is to say, well, climate, we don't win any arguments when we say climate is a scam.
Yeah. It's I get you.
Yeah. So what we have to do is fight fear with facts. So that's why we're doing this.
I like it. Well, Michael, thanks so much for coming on Basecamp for Men and sharing all your insight and your wisdom. Just love the conversation. I hope to do another one with you as we explore this this topic. I hope it was helpful for the listeners. And I just appreciate you being so well-researched and providing all kinds of insights and stuff that maybe the listeners and myself would not come across so easily. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. I was going to hopefully have these stickers from people's cars that say fossil fuel saves lives.
You know,
I get people get questions, and I can argue with anybody about climate change, and they eventually just give up and say, well, we just have to agree to disagree, and that's it.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you, Michael. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that discussion as much as I did. Michael carries a calm elder energy that I have so much respect for, and his stance on facts over fear around the climate issue might just be the medicine we all need for clear seeing. Thank you, good doctor, and thank you, base campers. We'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.